19, please. Psalm 119. Try to give me your attention tonight, okay? It's easy to disappear the moment we sit down and our mind goes. Let's not do that. Let's be intentional about God's word tonight, okay? And it's a treasure that we have. We come to the end of Psalm 119, and we're going to close out our study here tonight. The clear theme of Psalm 119 has been the Word of God and how there's nothing like it. And the psalmist, as we've seen over and over again, clearly loves the Lord, and he loves the law of the Lord. And what we've seen is that a demonstration how the psalmist is just basically built his entire life on the Word of God. And it's true that there is no book like the Word of God, God's book. There's no book like it. All other books have human authorship, and therefore they are limited to the knowledge and understanding of men, but not the Word of God. Amen? This book is unique in the fact that it is His, and He has given it to men, and it declares absolute truth that is known by only God Himself, and God has given it to us. It's not something men could come up with, and to have access to such a source of wisdom is truly a treasure. And so we should not forget that as we close out this study tonight, that the Word of God is indeed a treasure to us. And in this closing stanza of the psalmist's symphony of God's Word, we get a sense of the psalmist's complete and utter dependence on God. In this section, what we're going to find here is that it's really a prayer, it's a request, it's a petition stressing his dependence on the Lord. And I will make just a quick application to that before we move on, because it's important for us to remember and understand that in this life, if there's ever any benefit to this life, it's important for us to understand our dependence on God too. Understand what I mean? Some of you are young. You're just starting out in life. Your life, friend, young person, will not amount to anything apart from depending on God through His Word. You must build your life on the foundation of God's Word. Some of you are old. And as you look back on your life, you probably can see more clearly that a life built on the Word of God is the only life of any value. Because maybe there's been times when you've lived apart from God's Word in your life. And so maybe you can see that more clearly, but as we all live out our days, may the heart desire be to be admonished by the Word of God. Amen. And it's important to understand our dependence on the Word of God through every stage of life. And so I just want to start with that tonight, because it's so important as we understand the psalmist's dependence on the Word of God and on the Lord that we have the same. We must have the same if life is going to amount to anything. And so in this section tonight, we're going to see how the psalmist prays in humility, recognizing his need of God and His Word. Let's go ahead and begin in verse 169. The psalmist says, "Let my cry come near before Thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to Thy Word. Let my supplication come before Thee. Deliver me according to Thy Word. My lips shall utter praise when Thou hast taught me Thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of Thy Word, for all Thy commandments are righteousness. Let Thine hand help me, for I have chosen Thy precepts. I have longed for Thy salvation, O Lord, and Thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise Thee, and let Thy judgments help me." And now note this, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek Thy servant, for I do not forget Thy commandments." Tonight we're going to see three or four different things out of this psalm. First thing I want you to note is the psalmist's desire. In verses 169 to 170, he says, "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word." Here's the psalmist's desire. And the desire that he, first of all, is asking for, or that he's wanting, is understanding of God's word. The desire was for understanding. He says in verse 169, "Give me understanding according to thy word." Now let me make this note, and you won't disagree with it because you probably have already thought it yourself or have at some point in time. There is a difference between knowledge and understanding. The psalmist had knowledge. He had knowledge of the scriptures. The psalmist could quote the scriptures. The psalmist had much in the way of knowledge of the scriptures. He could recite it. He could quote it from memory. He could do all of those things. He had knowledge of the scriptures. Knowledge, we could say, is facts. It's information. It's facts. And there are many people who are well-versed in Bible knowledge, but woefully lacking in understanding. You understand what I mean? Knowledge is the accumulation of facts. Kids can grow up in Christian homes. They can go to Sunday school. They can be in children's church. They can sit under the preaching. You can have lots of Bible knowledge, an accumulation of facts. But understanding is the ability to comprehend and then apply it to various circumstances or situations in life. The Bible's full of principles and commands that guide us in life. Having knowledge of a principle without understanding how it applies, what it means, how it applies, doesn't do much good at all. Understanding is the ability to comprehend and then to apply it in various situations. There was one time I remember distinctly, there was a situation that was happening in my family. My kids were little and so on. And there was a situation that came up and whatever. And I dealt with the situation. I dealt with it based on what I knew of Bible principle. And here's a principle that applies in this situation. And so I applied it to that situation. And we went on our merry way in life. And then I get called into the preacher's office and he about the situation. He's like, "Why didn't you come talk to me about this?" And I said, "Well, Pastor, I knew what to do. I knew what to do because the Bible says this, and here's how it applied in this situation. And you taught me that." And I was a little bit frustrated at the time with him because of the fact that, listen, the Word of God is the authority. The Word of God is what I'm trying to build my life on. The Bible principle is there. I understood what it was. I applied it to the situation, and it made the situation in life better. That's what understanding is. That's what we should come to as children of God, as we grow, as we mature in the Lord. The psalmist's desire is not just that he acquire knowledge, but that he gain understanding of how it's to be used in his life. But he also realizes that any understanding he has to come from the Word of God, because he says, "Give me understanding according to thy word." And the application is this: you know, human logic and human reasoning, they can be useful at times. But human logic and human reasoning cannot help us when we are dealing with the ultimate issues of life. Human logic and human reasoning will always fail. Human understanding cannot answer the questions of life and eternity. They cannot answer the questions of tragedy and suffering. The world is continually asking the question of why. Human logic and reason can't answer those questions of life and eternity and tragedy and suffering. It can't explain the world around us. You have to listen, all the stuff that we see, the crazy. Human logic and reasoning can't explain that. But the Word of God certainly can help us understand it. can help us understand why things are the way that they are. And it's the Word of God that gives us understanding so that we can navigate, or that we can see our way ahead. I've said this before, like, I feel and that the days that we live in, it almost is like there's so much that you cannot trust. You don't know what to believe. You don't know what to trust. You don't know what's true. I mean, you can't even look at a picture on the internet and not really know if that's AI or not. I don't know. You don't even know if that's genuine or if that's something that somebody made up. You don't know what to trust. You don't know what to believe. And it's almost like you have to have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you to be able to see through what's happening in this world and have an understanding and a grasp of what's going on in this world and even in our own life. To navigate through without the Word of God and the absolute solid truth, foundation, bedrock truth of God's Word, I mean, that's got to be so unnerving. Why would the child of God depart from that and lean on our own understanding? The psalmist said, my desire here is that I have understanding, but it's got to come according to your Word. To be able to navigate, to see the way ahead. In verse 170, he desires something else. He desires deliverance. He says, let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. His prayer is for deliverance as well, but that is also according to God's word. You know, sometimes we could think of this, and maybe it's a physical thing that the psalmist is talking about that he wants deliverance from. We know that he's faced a lot of enemies and a lot of people who have lying lips and people who have persecuted and tormented him and so on. Maybe that's something that he's talking about, asking deliverance from that. But it also could be that there are circumstances that aren't necessarily physical that we experience, that we could have some deliverance from because of the Word of God. Sometimes circumstances in life can be confusing and difficult, right? I don't know why. And I can't see tomorrow. And tomorrow could bring fear and fret and anxiety because I don't know. And sometimes situations are uncomfortable and they can be painful. And sometimes it can cause us to doubt. Our faith is small. But having understanding of God's Word can actually deliver us from doubt. It can deliver us from fear. It can deliver us from anxiety. You know, people ask the question when they're walking through some trial, does God see what I'm going through? Does God care about what I'm experiencing? Does He know? Well, having an understanding of God's Word can deliver us from questions of doubt. Understanding that even the trial I'm going through is a trial of my faith. God said so, and it's working spiritual good in my life. And so I have a knowledge of that and an understanding of it. It can deliver me from anxiety and fear and doubt. Whatever's happening, even though it's uncomfortable, I know that it's for spiritual good. Does that make sense? And I don't have to struggle with depression, and I don't have to struggle with anxiety and fear and doubt because I can be delivered according to God's Word. God told me, He said in His Word, that the trial of your faith works patience. And patience is something that I'm supposed to allow to have happen so that it grows me in my faith and grows me into a mature saint of God. And you know, sometimes it puzzles us the how and the why of things. But the understanding of God's Word can bring about deliverance from fear, and it can strengthen our faith. The psalmist says, Lord, give me understanding according to thy word. That's how do I apply not the truth, the knowledge. Let my supplication come before me. Deliver me according to thy word. The bedrock promise of God's word is a deliverance for the soul. And so we see the desire of the psalmist that he have understanding and that he be delivered. Secondly, note his declaration in verse 171. He says, my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. His desire is for understanding. And then he says, my lips are going to utter praise when you've taught me your word. The result of understanding and applying leads the psalmist to declare that praise would come from him when the Lord had taught him his statutes. The word utter. In verse 171, my lips shall utter praise. It means to bubble over. The idea is you take a soda bottle or a can, and you just shake it up really hard, and you open up that lid. What's going to happen? Everywhere, right? You can't contain it. The pressure is so built up. That is the idea behind the word utter. He says, my lips shall utter praise, meaning that his heart cannot contain the joy and the praise from learning and understanding truth and seeing it applied in his life. That's what it means. You understand what he's saying here? When there's a Bible principle and I have knowledge of that, but I gain some understanding of it and I apply it in my life and I see the principle play out and I see that God was right and God showed me something and taught me something about him, man, that just creates overwhelming joy inside that God's word is actually real. It's not just words on a page. It's not abstract concepts out there. It's something that is applied to my life, and when I see it and when I walk through it, then I really know it. Now it's real. And the psalmist says, when I've learned that, the joy that is in my soul, the praise from learning and understanding truth and seeing it applied in my life, man, it's going to burst out, bubble over. And I found that to be true. When you apply God's word to particular things in your life and then you see the principle played out and you live it, then you really know it's true, not just something that you have head knowledge of, but something that is absolute reality, that God's word is right. It brings so much joy. There have been times when I've been intimidated to witness to somebody, and there's just something compelling inside my soul. I don't want to do it. My flesh doesn't want to do it. But the Holy Spirit won't let me go. And when you finally yield and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to obey you and I'm going to trust you in this, here goes nothing. And then you find out that God was working in that person's heart, and the Spirit of God just gives you truth and words to say, and scriptures just come to your mind. And you have this amazing opportunity to be used of God to give the gospel to a lost soul. You walk away from that situation just excited and feeling so much joy in your soul that you, number one, you were obedient to the Lord. Number two, God's promise that he would be with you did not fail, and the Holy Spirit of God gave you the words that you needed just for that person in that moment. Man, that just, there's not really much like it, to be honest. And it creates a desire in you to do it again, to be used of God again. Not just something that's abstract head knowledge out there, but something you've experienced and lived. And the psalmist says, my lips are going to burst forth with praise for God when the Lord teaches him his statutes. In verse 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments a righteousness. It's noteworthy that after his lips bubble over with praise, his tongue would speak the word of God. What comes out of your mouth? What comes out of mine? Many times our tongues speak our own words. Maybe they're deceptive words. Maybe they're defiant words. Maybe they're disrespectful words. Maybe they're divisive words. James 3 talks a lot about the tongue, that it's a little member that can't be tamed, but man, the world of hurt and the fire that that tiny little member can create. But David said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." His desire was that the words that came out of his mouth would be acceptable to the Lord. You know, if we could have that same desire, and that was what was ruling, many of our problems would probably go away. How many problems are created because of words? The psalmist said, "My tongue is going to speak thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." Now look at verse 173. He says, "Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts." The word chosen, it carries the meaning of a priceless treasure that he has selected. How does he talk? How does he look? How does he view the Word of God? He views it as a priceless treasure. He says, "Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts." He's chosen and committed himself to the Word of God, and therefore he appeals to God directly. He goes directly to the throne because God's hand is the only one that can help him. How often do we appeal to other things for assistance? But the psalmist says, no, I need God's helping hand because that's the only one that can help. And his declaration here is that his lips are going to utter praise to God. His tongue is going to speak the word of God because he had deliberately chosen God's precepts for his life. And therefore, he had access to the Lord. And then note, thirdly, his delight. In verses 174 and 175, "I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me." His great delight is the law of the Lord. In spite of his disappointments, we've read and talked a lot about his disappointments, all the enemies that he's faced, the troubles, persecution, at times he was down. We saw that over and over again throughout Psalm 119. And in spite of all of his disappointments, he found his delight in the law of God. How many times, maybe you've experienced this, I don't know, but many times when people have gone through extended periods of difficulty. You ever had extended periods of difficulty where it just feels like it's never going to end? Or when is this going to end? And it's over and over and over again. Or you get done with one and you move right into another. Or you're surrounded by all kinds of it. And it's like, when is this ever going to end? I want a break. I need a break. Have you ever felt like that? Or is that just me? A few of you. But many times when people have gone through extended periods of difficulty, and when they find themselves in stressful and distressing circumstances, they end up taking their frustrations out on God. You remember how we just talked about the nation of Israel? On Sunday, and they were in a place where there was no water, and they went from one trouble to the next trouble, and their response was, "Is God with us or no?" That was their response, and they complained. And many times people complain when caught in unpleasant life circumstances, instead of trusting in the Lord and running to His promises, we take our frustrations out. Is the Lord with us or no? When is this ever going to end? And instead of trusting in the Lord, instead of going to the Word of God to find strength and comfort, to find promises, many times people abandon the Word of God altogether under the pressure of disappointment or discouragement. And they start looking to other things for some sort of relief or reprieve or satisfaction. But not the psalmist. In spite of everything he experienced, he says he longed for God's salvation and he made the Word of God his delight. He had nowhere else to go. But neither do we. Where are we going to go? What is going to be the answer? How are we going to find help and strength? If one abandons the principles of God's Word, he also abandons hope. Let me say it again. You walk away from or you abandon the principles of God's Word, you also abandon hope. I think that thought or that principle is vividly demonstrated in John chapter 6. You remember how Jesus was asking his disciples about the throngs of people that had suddenly left and gone away after they heard some hard sayings. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Where'd they go?" And he said, "Will ye also go away?" You know what Peter's reply? You remember Peter's reply to that question? John 6:68, "Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." His confidence was in the Lord, and his life at that moment was built on, there's nowhere else to go but to the Lord. You have the words of eternal life. And listen, the point is this: if we want victory, even in trouble, delighting in the law of God has got to be a reality in our life. It's got to be a reality that we live day by day. Now look at verse 176, and here at the very end of Psalm 119, it's sort of a startling statement by the psalmist. He says, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." Notice how the psalmist here, he says, "I've strayed like a sheep, like a lost sheep." And it's at the end of all of this, at the end of everything, he makes that statement that kind of startled me a little bit. Like, everything that you've learned and how you've grown and the way that we've seen him depend on the Word of God, he says, "I've gone astray like a lost sheep." You know what? It's the nature of sheep to stray. It's in their nature. It's not malicious. We've got 6 little puppies running around the house. And as they get older, they start to stray. But I think it's malicious. I think they just, you go to pick them up and they're like, "I'm out of here." And they go hide under the bed or they go run farther away and so on. Sheep, it's in their nature to stray. It's not malicious. It's just by their nature that they will. You leave a sheep alone, unattended, and it's going to stray. But in the same sense, it is absolutely our natural tendency to stray as well. We are likened to sheep. Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray." How does that happen? Well, it might not be intentional, like I'm just intentionally going to walk away from God's Word. That may not be the case at all, and it's probably not for anybody in this room. But you know how it can happen? The crowding concerns of everyday life and the problems and this and that. It can be all consuming in us and become something that's so overwhelming and something that the mind is completely absorbed with, and it can actually cause us to drift away. We become too involved in the urgent and we miss what's important. Yeah? I don't have time today. I don't have time today for the Word of God. I've got to go. I've got to be this and I got to do that. And we become so involved in the urgent that we miss the important. Remember Mary and Martha? Jesus came to town and came to their house, and Martha was cumbered about with much serving. The urgent. She was missing what was important, but Mary, the Bible says, it's not going to be taken away from her, Jesus said. That one needful thing. She sat at Jesus' feet. You know, to liken himself to a sheep was an open admission of humility. He knew God's word. He applied it in his life. But he also understood, even, you kind of get the sense of a mature saint here, but he also understood that I've not arrived. And I've strayed like a sheep, and it's just open admission of humility. And he's spiritual enough and mindful enough to confess his tendency to the Lord. So, he says, I have gone astray like a sheep. And it caused him to respond this way. He said, seek thy servant. He besought the Lord to seek after him because I've gone astray like a sheep. Do you know that sheep won't naturally come back on their own? A sheep has to be found. And so the psalmist's prayer was for God to come find him. Come find me. And aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit of God doesn't leave you alone and just let you go? Aren't you glad? 1 Peter 2:25 says, you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. The psalmist said, this is my tendency. And so, Lord, come find me. Don't let me go. Don't let me be alone. Seek after me. And then the basis for that help was that he had never forgotten God's word. He said, for I do not forget thy commandments. You know, when we saturate our mind with the word of God and we're utterly obedient to his word, we place ourselves in a position where God will always seek after us as one of his own. Psalm 23, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 100 in verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He's the good shepherd. He's going to come find his sheep. And the truth is this, friends, we may lose sight of things at times. We might go astray like a dumb sheep. But God will never lose sight of us. Amen. And he still seeks after us. And when our hearts are open, when we're tender, we're going to be found of him. Amen. And that's a tremendous conclusion to this psalm, where the psalmist is spiritual enough to admit what his tendency might be, and then again be utterly dependent on God in his life. And we have much Bible knowledge, but we need more than just knowledge. We need understanding. And there are many people in this room. You possess a vast store of biblical truth. But you know what's missing sometimes? A desperate need for our heart to be sensitive toward God. That's what's missing sometimes. You have this vast store of Bible truth. You've been taught well. Whether it's from this pulpit or from your own Bible studies. But sometimes what's missing is a desperate need of the heart to be sensitive toward God so that our lives can be in harmony with Him. And our lives are in harmony with Him as we are dependent on and obedient to His Word. The truth is, and the point of the whole study is, we need this book. Our life has to be built on it. Is yours? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this study we've had over the many, many weeks in this last year in Psalm 119. And the Word of God is a treasure. It's a treasure for the soul. It's a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path as well. The Word of God is a comfort and a balm to a weary soul. It's also for correction and instruction in righteousness so that we can be truly furnished. It's all the things that we need. And a life that is not built on the Word of God is a life that will be of no value. Lord, help us to treasure Your Word. And we can have these vast stores of Bible knowledge. But if we don't have understanding, if we stray, or if our heart is not desperate to be sensitive to You, we certainly will stray. Lord, impress on us again how valuable Your Word is. Impress on us again how much we need it. Thank You for it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.